It's the My Michelle Live podcast.
My Michelle Live, entertainment review. Roll out the red carpet. Here's Michelle.
Yeah, thank you, big voice guy. Funny thing, though, I've yet to see this red carpet he's talking about, but I'm ready to roll it out for our guest today. A spectacular production. If you have not seen Jesus Christ Superstar, I'm telling you, it is something to behold. And I think it's a spectacular production, not only because of the subject matter, the music, the writing, but it is maybe something that goes a little deeper that gets people to think. And we're going to think about just how spectacular it is as it tours the United States with Judas himself, the man cast as Judas. James T. Justice joins us. James, welcome.
Hi, welcome. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. It must be so exciting. We were just talking briefly before we started broadcasting, James, that after lockdown, shutdown, everyone closed up, and even some people doing creative performances virtually, to be on stage, to me, is the epitome of why theater is so freaking magical, because it's that joy of real social interaction, of having someone react to your performance, of the synergy that happens. You must still be on fire because you're just starting the tour, correct?
Yeah, we opened last night, our very first show in front of an audience last night in Portland at the Keller Auditorium. And it, like you say, it was magical. It was the energy was palpable. And it was, I can't explain it.
How crazy. I have goosebumps. I literally have goosebumps talking about it. I can almost feel what that must have been like. I mean, I don't know. What was going through your head?
Well, I was nervous. Like, Judas starts the very first words in the show. He sings the very first song and the very last song in the show. And when I started singing, the lyrics are, "My mind is clearer now." And at that moment, everything flooded in. I'm like, this is the first audience. I'm here by myself, just singing this song. Everybody's watching me. Everybody's depending on me to, you know, and will my voice be all right? You know, like all these things started going in my mind. And I think I talked to the director of the show, and he said, that's a good thing, because if you're, you know, it makes you, you know, appreciate that more, and to make you drive that more to perfection in the show and in the character and stuff. So I can't explain the feeling. Like, we're making history now, so it's incredible.
Making history and going from that, here I am giving something to the audience, and then stepping into the shoes of what is most likely the most notorious character of all history. Judas Iscariot. Oh my gosh. When you were cast in the role, that must weigh heavy on you in a way. You are portraying an infamous character, so you have to bring out that infamous side of you. And we're brand new friends, so I don't know what that entails.
You know, this particular show, it's the last days of Christ told through the eyes of Judas. And Tim Rice, who is the lyricist of the show, wanted to give Judas a voice of what would this human, in this time, what would he be saying? Why did he make these decisions? And I think it's a really good representation of the archetype of Judas. And I've done this show before a couple of times. I've actually fallen in love with the character because he's like you say, he's one of the most notorious. However, there was a nuanced perspective to look at this character. I mean, if without Judas, the whole plan of salvation would not have been achieved, you know, and he had to do it. Christ said, you had to do it. He, you know, and Judas said, okay, I gotta have to do this. But he was conflicted because this was his best friend. Yeah. You know, so how do you do these things to your best friend when you have to do it, you know. And you know, like I've been studying since I've done this character a couple times before in different productions, and I've studied the Bible. I studied the books outside of the Bible, including the Gospel of Judas, which tells us a different perspective on his mission. And like I said, it was part of the plan. And I think his sacrifice was just as great, or maybe just as great as Christ, or Christ's sacrifice.
It's part of the overall arching.
Yeah.
The overarching story, where you see the nuances of this historical event, and that there's mm-hmm. just more to the story than just a simplistic Sunday school presentation. Yeah. We're talking about real people, real people who loved, who got angry, who struggled, mm-hmm. who were trying to understand who this person of Jesus was. Who is this really? Think of it. Yeah. So unique in all of history. So what this is, just a profoundly crazy important role that you're playing, and in a crazy important time in history, really.
And this is really strips out all of the religious aspects of it, if you want to look at it that way, and focuses in on the humanity of it, of all, you know, the relationships that are happening. And it gives us, like you said at the beginning, you know, the reason to question the things that we've been taught in Sunday school. And, you know, just to question, like, what really was going on? Like, what were the conversations? You know, we only have bits and pieces of the story. So this really helps us expand our knowledge, expand our questioning of it. And I just really want people to walk away from the show, you know, looking at Judas in a different light, you know, maybe the same, maybe, you know, or maybe it's like, maybe this guy, you know, there's something to this infamous character.
Indeed. Okay. So I want to know what is behind the not necessarily infamous character of James T. Justice. You have a cool background, Kinky Boots, Ragtime, Smokey Joe's Cafe. You've been a Las Vegas headliner. Where did you get your start? Somewhere in your background as this cute little boy, you know, what were you, you know, singing on street corners, singing in the choir at church? I mean, where did it come from for you?
I went to performing arts high school from 8th grade to 12th grade, and that really changed my life. And
seriously, how did your parents like know? Oh my gosh, James T's got it. Your parents have really had to have some kind of insight. Someone along the line had to look at you and go.
It was actually my school teacher. I was a very shy kid, and I never spoke a word until I was 5. I was very shy. And I was very, very, very soft spoken. And, you know, when I did speak, you know, it was very, very minimal. But when I was in the 4th grade choir, I'm sorry. Yeah. And I was 4th grade class, and we had to lead the class in the Pledge of Allegiance and the National Anthem. And as we sang, started singing the National Anthem, I started, you know, my voice started to rise when the song getting bigger. And I noticed the kids in the class stop singing. And then by the time the National Anthem was done, I got a standing ovation. Yes. And my teacher, she said, you should enter the talent show. And I did. And I came across the old song by the young Michael Jackson called Ben. Do you know that song?
Sing it for me for just a little bit.
Ben, the two of us need to look no more. We both found what we were looking for.
Yeah.
So I say that, and it's such a beautiful song, and like in the talent show, and like there wasn't a dry eye in the theater. And I thought to myself, there's something about this, something when I sing, people respond. And that was in the 4th grade. And then when 7th grade, I was in choir, and I heard about this new art school opening up. So my grandmother who raised me, it's like, I want to audition for the school. She knew that I could sing, and she let me do that. And,
God bless grandma.
And so she, I got on the bus and went to this audition, and I got it. And so from 8th grade to 12th grade, I was honing my skills, and I had the best time of my life, from, you know, doing concerts on the weekends and field trips and stuff. And but I at the same time doing all my schoolwork and that kind of stuff. So then I went to college and studied voice and music education. Started doing cruise ships and Disney and all that kind of stuff, and then moved to New York and try my chances at Broadway.
Okay, what was your breakthrough role, would you say?
Well, I heard this song on a show called Smokey Joe's Cafe. My friend said, "Oh, you have the perfect voice for the show. You need to go and audition for it." I was scared because, you know, the competition in New York, and but I went up there and auditioned. In fact, I don't know if you know Billy Porter. I was in a, I heard this voice that I heard on Star Search, and I'm giving my age away, but that sounds, voice sounds familiar. And I walked into this piano bar, and it was Billy Porter, and I didn't know he was in Smokey Joe's at the time, but I said, "Oh, that was great," because he finished singing. And he came next to me, and I was like, I'm a big fan. And I said, "I'm a singer." He said, "You're a singer? Get up and sing." And so I'm this young kid in New York City, and I'm singing in the piano bar. And I guess he was impressed. And he said, "Bring this picture and resume by the stage door of Smokey Joe's Cafe, the show that I wanted to be in." And he said, "You know, we'll see what happens." And 2 weeks later, I got a call. And next thing I know, I'm on Broadway, thanks to Billy Porter.
Oh, my gosh. What did that feel like?
It's, you know, like I look back on that, it's like a dream come true. Like when you manifest something, I wanted that role.
Heck
and
yeah.
He was in that role at the time. He was kind enough to give a leg up to a younger, you know, performer. And that's just the beginning of my Broadway career. And interesting story.
how amazing is that when you make those connections? It's almost like a divine appointment, like it was meant to be, right? It's really exciting to hear your story. And by the way, for those of you maybe younger viewers and listeners, Star Search was the precursor to The Voice and America's
American
Got Talent
Idol.
And all of that. Yeah. It was where it
was
all began,
Idol
people.
Of the 80s and 90s, right?
Oh, amazing, though, to watch your career blossom. It's as though you really do have a gift. You have a spark. First moment I saw you, your video came on, I was like, dang, guy's got a spark. You do. You have that spark, and you're sharing that spark with the world. We're going to talk a little bit more about the production you're in now and where people can see it around the world, the nation. But what is a role you've still yet to do that you're like, I would love to play that role?
The narrator in Pippin.
Ah.
Played by Ben Vereen, original. That's just an incredible role that I really would love to do. And I would actually love to create my own role. You know, I've always been a Come replacement on Broadway. I've never had a chance to originate a role, and that's where you get the notoriety and the, you know, the Tony nominations or the Grammy nominations. So that's. I've been in the circles, but I haven't had that chance to originate something like that. And this might be an opportunity, and I'm manifesting that we go to Broadway with this production, but that's neither here nor there. and I could do that with this role, but yeah, Judas is my dream role. And then narrator, I think, would be another one.
Oh, my, I've always wished I could play Tup Tim in The King and I. And then as I get older, I'm thinking I would love to do Mame. I would just love to do Mame. Sure. What a sassy, saucy, spicy role that is. But you know, we all have our dream roles, our alter egos that like to come out. Where can we see this production?
Here in Portland, we are playing at the Keller Auditorium, and we're here this week. We opened last night, and we're here through Sunday. We're going to be touring all over the U.S. For next week, we're in Seattle, then San Francisco.
I'm going to catch you in Seattle.
Are you?
I am.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. We'll have right now. I think the show is great, but you know, like when you're getting back on, you know, like it's like riding a bicycle, you know.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so you're in Portland. You're going to come up to Seattle next. You'll have all the kinks worked out, right?
Yeah. So you'll be good. Yeah, I'm gonna be doing Canada as well. So we're booked through August 2022. So there's a lot of cities to come and catch us. I'm excited to see being to some of the cities I've never been to.
Heck yeah.
I've been traveling a lot, and I love traveling and discovering new cities. And I'm in love with Portland here. And
the food in Portland is crazy good. I'm not going to lie, having grown up mostly in Seattle, there's kind of a rivalry in our sports teams, you know, our soccer team with Portland. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'll dismiss Portland a little bit, but it's not only beautiful, they beat our heinies in food. I mean, the food trucks, oh my gosh, don't get fat in Portland. That's my advice. Don't get fat in Portland. But man, I think you'll enjoy. Have you been to Seattle before?
I have been through Seattle. I haven't spent much time there because I've done like a lot of cruise ships, and like that's where they dock.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Like the day there, but I'm excited to go and explore.
Take a ferry. Hey, and speaking of food, have you ever even heard of a Seattle dog? They have cream cheese and grilled onions on a hot dog. It changes your life. So we've got that going for us.
Say that again.
A hot dog with cream cheese and grilled onions. Right? Change your life. Change your life. Other cities you're looking forward to seeing?
I'm going to look forward to performing in Atlanta. I haven't spent much time there. Dallas. I did a show there, but I love Dallas. I've never been to Greenville, South Carolina. I heard that's a really cute town. Where else? Toronto. I'm excited about Toronto.
I love Toronto. Those people up there are ridiculously nice. Went up there for another sports team, right? For their final. We lost. I am walking out and I am mad. I'm disappointed. And these flippant Torontonians are coming up. Hey, I'm sorry for your loss, but I hope you enjoy your city. And you're just going, could you just leave me alone right now? I don't want to like you right now. They are so friendly, but you're going to have an amazing time. And it's fun how a production company becomes a family, and you take your family throughout the country and give us little pieces of you as the production continues. And I'm sure after all of the practicing, you've already become a bit of a family. You start to know the nuances. What are some of the surprises or things that we might want to look at, some inside lines that we have since we're hanging out with our buddy James T here?
Inside nuances of the
Anything that you think we might want to look for, or you think watch for this?
I don't want to give away our secret, but it's such a community feel of the cast, and it's a family, and we have to, because we're like, you know, traveling all over the country together. And I don't think you can catch something. I mean, what to look for?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as far as the show is concerned, this is it's a rock concert, and the whole concept is the microphone. We start with the microphone, and the microphone is passed throughout throughout the cast, and that whoever holds the microphone, that is the person who has the voice, the person who's speaking.
You get their point of view.
Yeah, that's the whole theme throughout the show, and I think it's a really neat concept. And sometimes I don't know if people catch it, but that is something to look out for. Because some people go in with the expectation, who've already seen Jesus Christ Superstar. There are a lot of Jesus Christ Superstar fans, and they want to see what they think their version of the show is. But dispel all of that. Forget all of that. And we're going back to the 50th anniversary. We're going back to the Brown Album, which is this year's the 50th anniversary of that. Because it was meant to be a rock. I mean, I'm sorry. It was first a rock album, and without being a stage show. And then it was later made into a stage show. So that's the whole thing. So look out for the microphone, where the microphone is going. I think that's a good one to
I love that. Nice. All right, final question. And I didn't even send you. Here are the questions I'm going to ask. So this is the way my interviews go. It's like, okay, let's just sit down and have a conversation.
Well, I kind of like it like that. So it's, you know, it's not so contrived.
It's not a ping pong match. It's just hanging out with our friend listening. So in any production, there's always something that's happening backstage that nobody knows about. Have you had any of those things happen quite yet? I know you just opened last night, so there may not be a whole lot of, you wouldn't believe. Okay, the story that you're sitting with friends outside of the production drinking a glass of wine and you say, oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe what happened.
Well, last night I almost walked on stage with a mask on. Because, you know, for COVID reasons, we have to like be as safe as possible. We, you know, as soon as we go off stage, we put a mask on, you know, to keep safe and stuff like that. But
and thank God you don't have to do it on stage. I mean, seriously, can you imagine?
Seriously, come on. But so right after Mary's song, I Don't Know How to Love Him, I walk on for Damn On Damn For All Time, and I was just about to go off. I was like, oh my God. but yeah, that could happen at some point, but it didn't happen last night.
Sign of the times, baby. Of the times. Yeah. Tell us where we can go online to follow the production.
You can go to Jesus Christ Superstar box office tickets sales. Let's see.
And really, if you just Google Jesus Christ Superstar, you'll be able to find the production.
Yeah, it's on stub.com, vividseats.com. But Jesus Christ Superstar, just Google it, it'll come up. We got tickets. And it's selling surprisingly well. I was wondering, like, before we started, like, are people going to be ready to go out?
Yeah.
You know, what is it going to look like? The thing I was noticing last night during Superstar, that's when I get to really see the audience, because there's so much light on the audience coming from the stage. And it was weird because you can only see this much of their face. Like before, I could see if people were crying, I could see their.
Oh.
So it was like it was a detachment, but I think it was a detachment.
Yeah.
For me, as a singer, as a performer, it wasn't in my position to get the emotion from the people. They're going to walk out with whatever they're feeling, you know, that kind of thing. So
that's telling of the time. I think we all feel that. You just put words into what I think a lot of us have experienced, whether you're a masker, anti-masker, it doesn't matter. We're still affected by it. We all are. Need for social connection. And I think Jesus Christ Superstar is a powerful production because it really is, I think, at the heart of it, about connection with each other, connection with people we love, and connection with God. So deeper, I think what a perfect time to have this production tour the nation. And I can't think of a better Judas. You're such a nice guy. You bring Who wants a real just all out bad guy though to play Judas? Because it doesn't give us the depth or the nuances of who this historical character is. Man, I am so looking forward to seeing you.
I can't wait. To give this gift to people. Like you said, it's a perfect musical, perfect show, perfect production to bring to people and to help the healing, because we need healing in all aspects of our lives.
Come on. Amen to that, my friend. Amen to that. Hey, do me a favor. Your next production, whatever you're involved in, you ever want to chat, you got my contact information. Let's keep in touch, shall we?
Thank you so much, Michelle.
You were so much fun. I loved it. Thank you.
Thank you.
More entertainment at MyMichelleLive.com.
For more fun, go to MindMichelleLive.com.